Is it not amazing how music, songs of worship, songs of praise speak to us? Thanks, Jay, for leading that this morning. This morning, the message is titled, "Whom Will You Serve?" I'm going to be talking out of the Old Testament, kind of taking Kevin's place here this morning, right? But the book of Joshua, I just want to read some verses in there, and that would have to do with where Joshua took over after Moses passed away. And I think Joshua was one who was very unsure that he could fill in and walk in the footsteps and fill the shoes, as it were, that Moses had filled. I want you to think, as we go through the message, whom will you serve? Also think of what idols you might have in your life today. What idols that you might have had in your life in the past year. And you say, that's not me. I'm a Christian. I would like to say that I'm extremely grateful that we live in the age of grace, of God's grace. And we'll see that as we go through this passage today of, I don't know if God's grace was, it wasn't like we experience it today, because there would probably be very few, if any, of us here today if this would have happened to us in this day and time, and we wouldn't have had Jesus coming and dying and raising from the dead and giving us the new birth and allowing us to have that experience of allowing Christ to live in and through us and His grace to overflow into our lives. It's said that a man in Haiti wanted to sell his house for the sum of $2,000. The buyer, who was really needing the house and desiring to have it, didn't have $2,000. After much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half price, with just one stipulation. Always when you have a stipulation, it's like, oh, what is this? Well, this wasn't too bad. The owner wanted to retain one small nail that was protruding out on top of the front door. That was still going to be his. After several years, the original owner wanted the house back, but the new owner was unwilling to sell. So the first owner, he went out, he found a carcass of a dead dog. He hung it from the single nail that he still owned on that house. Soon the house became unlivable, and the family was forced to sell the house to the owner of the nail. The conclusion was, if we leave the devil with even one small peg in our life, he'll return to hang his rotting garbage on it, making us unfit for the kingdom of God. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. I'm going to read Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9, and then verses 16 and 18. And this kind of gives us just a prelude to what was going on here. And then we're going to look over in the book of Joshua again in chapter 7, and I want to read those verses there. But Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over to Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel.'" Let me just stop right there. I want you to watch something. There's a phrase that is going to be in here, and you might know what it is already, but it's four times in this passage that I'm going to read. So be watching for that. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, that you may prosper whatever you do, wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Drop down to verse 16 in that same chapter. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command them shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. What's the phrase that I'm looking for? Can someone say it? Be strong and of good courage. That phrase is found three times in the first nine verses. And that phrase was said by God to Joshua. As he told Joshua what was going to happen and what he was going to do and how he was supposed to live his life. And then he would say, only be strong and of good courage. But if you drop down to verses 16 through 18, that's not God talking anymore. That is the children of Israel speaking to Joshua. And they're saying, just as we heeded Moses, we'll do whatever you want us to do. Whoever rebels against what you say, Joshua, that person's going to be put to death. We're right here with you. But they said, only be strong and of good courage. They told Joshua to only be strong and of good courage. So the Lord told him three times. The children of Israel told Joshua one time. To be strong, to be of good courage. We can look back and we can see what all happened, and we have the ability again to know how the outcome was. Joshua didn't have that ability. He didn't have that privilege to know that everything was going to work out that the way the Lord told him it would happen. But he needed to follow, he needed to obey the Lord. Verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And the Lord told him, said, you need to meditate on it day and night. And you need to observe and to do according to what is written in it. He said, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And as we go through here, as we go through this, looking at this scripture, how many times do we look at our life and how many times is there things going on in my life and I plead and I cry and I ask God, why is this going like this? Why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this, dear God? And at the same time, God is trying to talk to you. God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to do something to jerk you back to the real reality of life as to why this is going on in your life. Doesn't mean that if we live our lives completely for Jesus Christ, that we will not have struggles, that we will not have trials, that we will not have problems. But we know that when we're in God's will, we're in His perfect will, it's okay. It doesn't matter what happens. It's okay. He will take care of us. But when we're trying to have one foot in the door and one foot out the door, one foot, we kind of want to, we don't want to go to hell, but yet I don't want to give up everything. That's when life is a miserable way of living. I want to turn over to Joshua chapter 7 and we'll read that chapter also. It's Joshua 7. verses 1 through 26. I will read the entire chapter and I'm going to come back and make some comments on that. Joshua chapter 7 verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass concerning the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebai, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took the accursed things so that the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Let me just stop here and just talk a little bit what happened between chapter 1 and through chapter 6. And that is, we all know the story of how they circled the walls of Jericho and how Jericho came crumbling in. But God had told them back in chapter 6, towards the end there, that they would take the silver and the gold vessels of bronze and iron that are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So they were to take that after Jericho was destroyed. But he had told them in verse 18 that by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed and you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Now, let's continue on in verse number 2 in chapter 7. Verse 1, we see that Achan had taken things that he was not supposed to have taken. And it says, the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Verse number 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, and to the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebrim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth, and on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over to Jordan at all, to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and to dwell in the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie there thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed things from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, shall be brought according to the tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah and took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zebai was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebai, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered, and Joshua said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all the Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day, so that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Looking back on verse number 1. One man sinned. Everybody was guilty. One man sinned. Everybody was held accountable for one man's sin. Do you think what you do doesn't matter? Do you think the way you live your life doesn't matter? Do you think the way you do church, the way you serve the Lord your God, and the way you live during the week doesn't matter? And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we live in a day of grace. Well, in verse 6, it says, Joshua took and he tore his clothes and he fell to the earth. Joshua was horribly, horribly discouraged at this point. Then in verse 10, the Lord told Joshua, "Get up. Why are you laying on the ground? Get up. Go do something." Then verse 19. Joshua said to Achan, after they did the whole elimination process of trying to figure out who had committed this sin of taking these things that were accursed, and it came down that it was Achan. And Joshua said to Achan, there in verse 19, he says, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done, and do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done." And he went on to say what he had done. Do you think at this point that Achan might have been thinking that he was going to get off scot-free on this? That he got caught, Joshua confronted him, and Joshua told him to confess, "Don't lie about it, be honest about it." And Achan did confess, and he was honest. I don't know if we can know what was going on in Achan's mind. But I can't help but believe that he was just as human as I am, and that he would have thought, I know I did this horrible thing, but here's my way out. I'll confess it. And yeah, it'll be on my record that I did this stupid thing, this awful thing, but I think I'm going to be okay. Brothers and sisters, today we live in the day of grace. They did not have the day of grace back then. And it was not good. It did not turn out well for Achan. Verse 24 says, they took Achan and all the stuff that he had, his sons and his daughters, his oxen, sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. Brothers and sisters, the way you live your life does not just affect you. It does not just have the consequences that you're going to have a bad life. The way you live your life is going to affect your spouse. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your grandchildren. And it's going to affect those that even come after you after you're dead and gone. And so many times I live my life and I think, well, it's none of your business how I live my life. And if I do mess up, I can just confess. But brothers and sisters, we still live in the day when the God that we serve today is still the same God that they served back in the Old Testament. But we live under the law of grace. Not under the law, but under grace. Excuse me. How many of us would be here today if we would have been back in that time? How many of us would have been that Achan? Not only did he lose everything he had, he lost his life. Not only did he lose his stuff, he lost the stuff that was the most important to him, and I call it stuff loosely, but his sons and his daughters, they suffered horribly for his sin, for his covetousness. What little sins do you have in your life that you think that, oh, we're living in a day of grace and God will just overlook it? God knows that I'm not perfect. God knows that I mess up. Billy Sunday had said, I believe that a long step towards morality will have been taken when sins are called by their right name. Brothers and sisters, God will be exalted. Whether you do it or whether you don't do it, God's name will be exalted. It is up to us to decide whom we will serve. It is up to us to decide that we're going to go all out and give our all to Him, or we're going to hold that one nail above the door. God ain't going to accept it. He ain't going to take it. He ain't going to stand for that. He ain't going to go for that. We say we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. But we have our little pet sins that we hang on to. Like, well, God understands. And God does understand. God does forgive. God does overlook when we sin and we sin innocently. But then when it's brought to our attention, we confess it. But when we have these little pet sins that we just do because we're living in a day of grace, I'm not so sure God is real sympathetic to us. And can we, as we look at a new year, to say, God, I'm going to open my life to be as an open book to you and to those around me, those that love me, those that are part of my family, those that are part of my church family. How faithful would you call a wife or a husband who is faithful to their spouse 85% of the time? That's a pretty high record, right? You know what we would call someone like that is 85% faithful? We call someone like that unfaithful. The 85% means nothing. It's that 15% where you're failing in that says everything. You struggle. We face trials. We face issues. But how well are you at, first of all, reading and meditating like the Lord commanded Joshua to do, to meditate on God's word, to be there in it, to take it in daily, think upon it day and night, and then to practice it, take and draw from that and apply that to the way I treat those around me every day? How are you at keeping your vows? How are you at doing church as a body? Do you think you can do your life like this and it's no one else's business? We're part of something much greater than ourselves. How are you, men, at allowing your eyes to see or not to see? things that you should not see. How are we doing with that? What kind of a commitment will we make this year that we will not allow anything before our eyes? We will covenant, we will not allow anything before our eyes that would draw us away. God will receive His just due. The question is it going to come from you? Is it going to come from me? How willing am I? How willing are you to allow your life to be as an open book and to serve the Lord Christ wholeheartedly? In the last verse there in that chapter, after those horrible things happened to Achan and his family and his livestock and everything that he had, it says, "So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger." Brothers and sisters, we have a loving God, but we have a just God. And when we say we have a just God, that means that we have a God who will not tolerate sin in His presence. We can't have it both ways. And when we try to have it both ways, we're miserable wretches and we're lost. When we knowingly continue in sin, that grace may abound. I think the fierceness of God's anger comes upon us. But he says, after the sin was confessed, after the consequences of the sin were meted out, that the Lord turned from his fierce anger. So we too, today, this year, this day, this next week, this next month, this next year, we must make the choice that we will serve the Lord God, no matter what. There's a story told of a new recruit that had just joined the Navy, and he was asking his officer for a pass so he could attend a wedding. The officer gave him a pass, but he informed the young man that he would have to be back by 7 p.m. on Sunday, to which the young man responded, said, "You do not understand, sir. I am in the wedding." To which his authority told him, "No, you don't understand. You are in the Navy." How many times are you, am I, the one who's trying to dictate to God, and I'm telling God what He's going to do for me and how He's going to do it for me, and I'm telling God what I'm going to do for Him? And God's like, "It ain't happening. You ain't changing my ways. I am God. I will be served. I will be exalted." The question is, what will you do with God? What will you do with this one whom says that you can have no other gods? What will you do with this one who says you can have no other idols? I know what you can do. I know what I can do. And that is, I have to die daily. Brothers and sisters, that's not easy. It's really nice when someone talks about someone else and it's maybe something to do with me and I can agree with it and even come across as a holy, righteous, and a godly person. But it kind of makes me feel good that that person is kind of being pushed back. But you'd never tell it for me because I've got the right attitude or not. How much will you be willing to give to your God, to your Lord, to Jesus Christ this day, this month, this year? For us as a body, if God has to choose between you or His bride, which is the church, it will always be His bride. It will never be just you living on an island and you just living for yourself and thinking that God exists so that you can do what you want to do. But God is coming back for His church. In closing, 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah asked the question, how long, I think King James says halt, but how long will you waver between two opinions? He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And you know, it's okay if you decide not to serve God. It's okay. It's not good, but it's okay. The end will not be good for you. But if you choose to serve God and you choose to serve the world or Satan, you're still not serving God. So you might as well live your life for Satan rather than try to have a foot in the door and a foot out the door. Because God won't have it. God will not allow that. God will not put up with that. We must choose. We must decide. And what better time is it to make a New Year's resolution? That this day I will serve the Lord. I don't care what. I don't even care about my reputation. How many times do you concern yourself with your reputation? How many times do I concern myself with my reputation? Don't worry about your reputation, brothers and sisters. Worry about and take special care of your character. Your character is always what you want to look out for. Your reputation can come and go. But if your character is intact, if your character is above board, there's nothing that can come against you. Have we become broken down by making being a Christian too cheap? I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer was the one that coined the phrase of cheap grace. And today we hear a lot of that, which, brothers and sisters, is really no grace at all. It's a false gospel. If you're willing to serve the Lord Christ, it's going to cost you everything. If I'm willing to serve the Lord Christ, it's going to cost me everything. What am I willing to do? How willing am I? How willing are you? One nail above the door. Do you have one nail that you're holding out on above the door of your heart? Can we covenant to not have anything in my life that would cause a hindrance, that would cause a block between my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as we start out this new year? Shall we stand? Our Father, as we stand before you, in the quietness of this moment, oh God, would you help each one of us to inventory our own heart, our own life? Not that I would inventory someone else's life, but I would inventory my life, and each one of us would do that. God, would you help us to be honest before you, to be honest before ourselves, and allow you to mold us and to make us what you want us to be, no matter the growing pains that can come with that, but that we would be sold out to you, that we would serve you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Guide us as we move forward from this day on, that we could do that, that we would love you with everything within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. You're dismissed.